Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sita Uvacha Atate Samparetanam Vanamudakamichatam. Tatum Sakrishna Gangayam Paraskritya Yastriya. Excuse me. Sita Goswami said, thereafter the Pandavas, desiring to deliver water to the dead relatives who had desired it, went to the Ganges with Draupadi. The ladies walked in front. Purport. Today it is the custom in Hindu society to go to the Ganges or any other sacred river to take bath when death occurs in the family. Each of the family members pour out a pot full of the Ganges water for the departed soul and walk in a procession with the ladies in the front. The Pandavas also followed the rules more than 5,000 years ago. Lord Krishna, being a cousin of the Pandavas, was also amongst the family members. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanandana Salakaya Taksurumritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sahapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadantitam Adadana Sunam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Imad Rupa Padam Boja Dulisham Janma Janmani Paragi Bhakti Risham Payatnai Apayama Manabip Samantam Kapamburiya Paragrupa Dhuki Sanatanastam Prabhavasrayami Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Baye Vrcha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Stockton, California. That's somewhere near San Francisco. I came back yesterday from Odaria Dham, and we're staying at the house of Prem Bhakti Marg and Rasaraj. Many of you know Kandiva, who joined with Prema Bhakti in the Brooklyn Temple, I think the late 80s or early 90s, from Hong Kong. She's visiting, and Rati Krishna has also come out. Very enlivening time in the hermitage of His Holiness Tripurari Swami. Very, very sweet. Each monk has their own little place. Therefore, just assure high-quality monks. It's a very wonderful and spiritually uplifting time in the redwood forest, in a kind of, it's on like a hill, or it's in the mountains. Very sattvic and spiritual atmosphere. And now we're back here today, yesterday, or the day before yesterday, I think. That's right. And today we'll have a little program. Some people will come up from San Francisco. least one of them, some of you know, she came on our tour, Chaitanya Daya. So this is a very wonderful section of the Bhagavatam, where we're discussing, many ways you can divide the first canto. But in one sense, in one way you can divide the first canto, it's a history of the Bhagavatam, and it begins, and it's Sutta Goswami telling this history to satisfy the inquiries of Shonaka Rishi namely Sharanya. If the universe is like a wheel, the hub of the wheel is Naimisharanya, and it's a sacred place, and even materially places have potency. Places have potency in the modes of nature. New York certainly has the potency to instill passion. And when you go to the country, it can instill goodness. The vato, ignorance, the bar, ignorance. And different holy places have spiritual potency, and they also have flavors of spiritual potency. Last night here, I was lecturing on the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I was meditating on my visits to Mayapur, Srinavadvip Dham, and the potency of the place in the mood of Odharya or magnanimity. Mercy, undeserved kindness, and that undeserved kindness comes in Sridhar Mayapur in the form of the Holy Name. The Holy Name descends at a far greater, to a far greater degree than one's own effort. So, and Vrindavan is Madhurya Dham, and Puri is Viraha Dham, the mood of separation. You could feel that in many ways. So Naimisharanya has a potency to counteract the effects of Kali Yuga. The sages are meeting. And when the sages are meeting in Kali Yuga, let's see if I can get my bearings here. yes, they're concerned specifically with that. It's a sabha, it's an assembly of sages who are concerned with the Kali Yuga, the effects of the Kali Yuga, the effects that we are feeling now in Kali Yuga, and we're all feeling it just being in this environment, the age of quarrel, confusion, and internet. And we're feeling it, the effects, and how to counter it. And that's also, Bhurijan Prabhu makes a beautiful point. That is the mark of the sage, and that's what makes one a sage. The mark of the sage, and it's what makes one a sage. So we see the mood. The mood of compassion, the mood of concern for others. That's what a sage is. Sage is thinking of others. Materialist is thinking of themselves. Sees the world in terms of their own desires and fears. Saintly person sees the world in terms of the desires and fears of others. That's what love means. Love means you're thinking of others and to please them. And the question they ask now that Krishna has left the planet, where will knowledge and religion be? And the answer was, it will be in the Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami explains. And then Shonaka Rishi heard that, and apparently, because it's just at the beginning of Kali Yuga, that's when the Bhagavatam appears, but the stories, he's heard something about the personalities behind the Bhagavatam. and he wants to hear more. He hears about Vyasadeva, about his inspiration, the whole, you know, he wants to know about that. And he hears about Sukadeva Goswami being Atmaramas Trimunayo Nidhanat Upikrame Kovantuhoitakim Paktim. He heard that he's completely self-satisfied but still is attracted to the transcendental glories of the Supreme Lord. So he wanted to hear about that. He wanted to hear about it. And then finally we got to the section of Maharaj Prickett. Now the section of Maharaj Prickett, because that's also the Bhagavatam, he hears it from Sukadeva Goswami. But more that his life needs his life is so glorious that his death, you see, one of the questions asked is, why should a man whose administration nothing is lacking? Now just think about that term. Administration where nothing is lacking. Right? Think about U.S. government. Administration was nothing lacking. Not that I'm comparing it or pointing out, but in terms of the spiritual institution, it's the one we know. Think of ISKCON. Administration where nothing is lacking. And imagine in any of those places, there was a leader that came who was so expert that there was nothing lacking in the administration. You see the present government in the United States, what a mess, right? And you see how difficult it is to manage a spiritual organization. Imagine nothing lacking. Imagine when you go to institutions and governments, naturally, very difficult to manage things. And because we're part of it, just imagine the suffering we feel because there is, or the lack of benefit we feel because there is lacking in administration. And the relief one feels when there actually is a proper leader. I was thinking of Vrindavan when this devotee Devamrita Prabhu came. And I saw all the different ministrations, how expert he was. How expert he was, and how the atmosphere changed, and how so much more the needs of the devotees and the pilgrims were met. How wonderful. So he's doing that. He's a very saintly person. He can easily be a sannyasi. He can easily be traveling and preaching. But no, it's so important that he's taking on that burden, he's taking on that headache. Now, Maharaj Prickett was doing that for the world. The question is, why? He could have counteracted the curse. Why didn't he counteract the curse? This is the question that Shonaka Rishi answered. And really, at least one of the answer is because his death would lead to Sukadeva Goswami coming to enlighten him. And that enlightenment was the Bhagavatam. And the service of the Bhagavatam was more important than his service of managing the world. Management creates the structure. And it's very, very important. But the structure for what? The structure for chanting and hearing the Bhagavatam. That's what temples are for. Temples are to create a structure where the Bhagavatam can be heard and distributed. There's nothing higher than the Bhagavatam. Even in the section in Bhakti Sandarbha we're studying, where it discusses the holy name, the last section of the holy name, the last section about the holy name, is somehow that the name, form, qualities, and pastimes that come from the Bhagavatam are the highest. It's the form, sound, of sound incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So now we're up to the story of Marge Prickett, which came after the story of Vyasadeva, and specifically at the end, he has this vision of reality, sees the cause of people's suffering, and sees the remedy. And what's the remedy? The remedy is the Bhagavatam. I'm trying to present this in a transparent way, but very frankly, activities like this, hearing and chanting about Krishna, are the most important activities you do. If this is the only class you hear, then this is the most important activity in your week. Of course, chanting japa and things like that, kirtan. But if this is the only class you hear, this is the most important. This is the most important. Because from this, everything else changes. You'll see it again and again in Prabhupada's purport. The Bhagavatam spoken by a qualified devotee, and here we're presenting the teachings of Prabhupada and how he presents it in the purport. The Bhagavatam spoken by the qualified, you know, the Prabhupada calls it injection. The injection into the heart. This is where your faith will come. So it's so important. So he says, now I'm going to talk about Marge Prickett. Now, it's very, very important about Marge Prickett because of all those personalities, Sukadev and Vyasadev and things. Marge Prickett is very special because he has, and his family specifically, are in Krishna Leela in their personal, you know, he's has personal contact with Krishna. In fact, Marge Prickett is so special that Krishna appears in the womb. How special is that? Creates the impression for Krishna that he searches for the rest of our life. And this is another thing. We have to engage in chanting and hearing to create those impressions in our heart. Otherwise, we won't search for Krishna. And we'll search for everything else, and our lives will be wasted. So this is so, so important. And this is very, very special. You know, I told you, historically, the Bhagavatam, it's so important because I'm saying spiritually and the end of Kurukshetra means basically, you know, well, the beginning of it, the Bhagavad Gita is spoken. And the Bhagavad Gita concludes Sarva Dharman Pratyaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papevyo Moksha Yasyami Mahasujaha. Sarva Dharman Prityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Give up all varieties of religion and surrender to me. I will protect you, don't fear. Now I'll tell a little story before I get back into it. When I met the devotees, it was such a spiritual experience. What do they call that? Rapture, or there were religious experiences. And I was, you know, it's kind of the introductory offer to Krishna consciousness, and I just wanted so much to join, but I guess my personality was non-confrontational, if you can believe that. My personality is non-confrontational. So I didn't want to really confront my family. And also, I just had this special compassion for my father in one sense. Because he was such a hardworking, decent man, you know, and I knew he wouldn't really like it. So I just kind of avoided it. And I was in college. And I went to college 4 more years. And I was like a devotee, but not in the temple. And at that time, they didn't have congregation. I described, you were in, you were out. It had its advantages and disadvantages. Some people just kind of came in, and some people just gave up. But that's the way it was. You were in or you were out. And then after 4 years, I'll just tell it in this story. What happened was, I had a friend from college whom I met the devotees from that's Akshobhya. And those of you who know Kirtan Rasa, it was Kirtan Rasa's older brother and Vartman Tadarshika guru. And he was a most unforgettable person. He used to create almost like New York Times crossword puzzles with Krishna or something like that. And even in college, he was so attracted to Krishna almost before Krishna appeared, because we used to call him Odysseus, because when we took classes about the Odyssey, you know, and the professors would try to say there's some flaw in Odysseus, he would like argue vehemently that there was no flaw. And he was also about 6'2", and he was very brilliant. He indexed the Krishna book. He was the father of modern day indexing in the books. And he actually I guess stories are good. It's the only one. He actually also died preaching. He was making a devotee and the family attacked the devotee to kill him. And he went to save the devotee. And put his body in between the brother and this actually a boyfriend picking up his girlfriend to join the temple. And they were actually diplomats in the Filipino embassy. And the brother of the girl became so angry, she chased the fiance or something. This guy came to pick up the girl was the daughter of the people in the Philippine embassy. So that girl's brother, when her fiancé came to pick her up to join the temple, attacked, they called him. He came running out. In between and got stabbed in the chest. Crazy. So anyway, I was, you know, so many years just going to college, almost finished like last year my master's degree, and then I was almost finished, this huge box of sweets came from the temple in Dallas where he was, and I remember it was Ludlows and Simply Wonderfuls, like hundreds. And then an invitation came to me to just visit in the summer again and visit the Rock Theatre in San Francisco in 1974 with him. And I went out there, and then I came back to the Dallas Temple, and they said that Prabhupada's giving out, you know, prasad to all the devotees, line up. And I went, and I got in the back of the line because I was just a guest. When I was on the line, I just started to become an anxiety. I wish I could get over my doubts to take that point and to just really surrender fully. Up to that point, somehow I couldn't do it. As I was speaking yesterday in the story of Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, we're at a particular step. There's a next step. The distance between them is called the obstacle. And wherever we are, it seems insurmountable to get to that next step. And generally, getting to that next step takes some form of mercy, which you attract by your service or humble entreaty or your dependence on Krishna, because you just realize, it's not in my power. And then when you realize it's not in your power, somehow or other, you become a receptacle for Krishna's mercy and some strength comes. Basically, this is the whole essence of the 12-step program, if you analyze it spiritually. It's how people, they can't get over their addiction. They just accept the higher power and accept their dependence. And it's a spiritual process. Some strength comes. I've analyzed this. I can't go into this now. but it's very, very interesting. So I was on the line, and even when I was living outside, and I get the BTGs and I get the books and I occasionally go to the temple, I would study a little bit. I was always kind of a student. And I was thinking of that verse, Sarva Dhammam Pritya Ja Mame Kam Sharanam Daja Aham Tvam Sarva Pape Dyo Moksiyasyami Masuja. Don't worry. Don't worry, Krishna says. I will protect you. So I remember standing on that line, wanting to surrender, but not being able to fully surrender, and just repeating that over again, Ma Suchaha, Ma Suchaha, Ma Suchaha, Ma Suchaha, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. I will protect you, I will protect you. And I remember it was so mystical when Prabhupada put those two rascals into my hand. Upon the bite, I was ready for the next step. The mercy of the pure devotee, it was unbelievable. It was just the obstacle. I was at the next step. I was ready to go. Anyway, Bhagavad Gita ends there. And also, what happens when the Bhagavad Gita ends, the Kurukshetra War begins. And what's the end of the Kurukshetra War? Large crickets in the womb of Uttara, the last remaining descendant of the, I believe, the Adi dynasty, the Pandavas. He's in the womb. Then he gets born. And he is the person to whom the Bhagavatam, which is the postgraduate study of the Bhagavad Gita, because it says surrender unto Krishna. But how that surrender is done, that's not described in the Bhagavad Gita. What that surrender looks like is not really described. Of course, Arjuna surrenders. But that sharanagati, that confidence and faith that there's no other shelter, but ananya gati tam is called. No other shelter. Sex life. No, it's not a shelter. It just leads to fear. Position. No, that's not a shelter. We've tried these shelters. Illusion, madness, anger, revenge. That's a shelter. Let me, I'm Palestinian, I'm Israeli, and, I'm Catholic, I'm Irish in Northern Ireland, all these. Revenge, revenge, then my heart will be filled. Hey, we've tried that. And when we've come and we realize that these are not shelters, that the only real shelter is our relationship with Krishna, and that he is the capable nourisher and guardian that will completely give us shelter. And when we have that confidence, the extent we have that confidence is the extent we enter into the path of bhakti. And then we have the Bhagavatam, what that looks like. So it's interesting, the Bhagavad Gita ends, the Bhagavad Gita begins the Kurukshetra War. And the end of the Kurukshetra War, Marge Prickett's saved by Krishna, and his life leads up to the glory of the Bhagavatam manifesting at his death. So just to keep us going here, then what happens is, because the end of the Bhagavatam, the end of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, what happens is up until this point, the Bhagavatam, we haven't seen Krishna. We've heard of him. We haven't seen him. So it happens at the end of it that Ashvatthama, the son of Dronacharya, he beheads the five sleeping sons of Draupadi. And when Arjuna hears this, he's furious, tells his wife, Draupadi, I will take revenge. And you can imagine, you know, Arjuna, the great warrior, he's after Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama becomes terrified. I mean, Arjuna now is seeking revenge. He gets trapped. He doesn't know what to do. And he releases the Brahmastra weapon. And this also shows what Kali Yuga is. Kali Yuga is position without culture. That's Kali Yuga. He had the position of a Brahmin, but without the culture of a Brahmin. Because, the culture means that you don't release the Brahmastra weapon unless you can withdraw it. It's irresponsible. It's an irresponsible use of power. And this is one of the things of Kali Yuga. And we can see, I can see in my own life when I was young, we can see now, we can see in our own lives if we're honest, that we take certain positions of responsibility, whether it's teacher, husband, wife, TP, whatever it is. And we see the disaster when the position comes without the accompanying culture. How much distress is caused? And that's Kali Yuga. People don't have culture. They don't have principles of life, of how to learn, how to deal with others. And then Arjuna has to take shelter of Krishna. Sarva dharmam prityajam, just take shelter of Krishna. He has that faith. In this fearful condition of the material world, you have to take shelter of Krishna because every other shelter is a source of fear because it's temporary. So he's got it. Ananya Gatitam, there's no other shelter. Let me take shelter. He's got it. He's understood. And then we see Krishna for the first time. And where do we see Krishna for the first time? He's on the chariot. He's not on the chariot because it's a condition of his heart, right? He's in a particular mode and all he can do is become a cabbie. You all know what a cabbie is. One who drives a cab, the driver. Krishna was not an Asian taxi driver. And because of the modes that the person takes, all he can do is drive the car. No, it was because of his affection for his devotees. And it becomes, Hare Krishna, it becomes so glaring, so clear that that's the glory of God. That he's a person. And the nature of a person is, the glory of a person is that he reciprocates relationships, which means he serves the desires of others. And when you serve the desires of others, you put yourself happily in a subordinate position, right? Dasa, 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 anudasa. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Krishna takes that position. It's such a glorious position. In fact, we know that God himself, to be complete, has to take the position of his devotee. That's Gaur Lila. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see Krishna in that position. We see him in that position, and it's glorious. And I mentioned, I think, a startling realization in our two main books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Where is the first time we see Krishna? We see Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita when? Kurukshetra. We see him on the chariot. Where do we see him? The Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita, we see Krishna at the beginning of the battlefield of Kurukshetra on the chariot. And the Bhagavatam, we see him at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra on the chariot. If he's protecting, we see him. Now we see Krishna as a servant of his devotees. And this introduces a whole new subject into the Bhagavatam now. And that subject is Krishna and his dealings with his devotees. And that's what we'll see. Next is Kunti, then Bhishma Dev, then leaving Hastinapur, then entering Dwarka. This is the Bhagavatam. This is the glory of God that's revealed in our scriptures. He's the servant of his devotees. And this is actually the essence of the Vedas, and the Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedas. This is what the essence of the Vedas means. The essence of the Vedas means that that supreme absolute Brahman is in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, crawling on his, these are the conclusions. This is the glory. He's serving his devotees, and we can have a relationship with him in one of the five rasas. Jivera Surupahoy, Krishnera, Nitya Das. We are an eternal servant of Krishna. So we see what? He's introduced what? As the servant of his devotees. Then what happens? He saves Arjuna. And as the first thing we see, and Bhurijan Prabhu made that point, it's very interesting. The point he makes is very interesting. He does not speak philosophy. He's instructing his disciples, counteract the Brahmastra weapon. And then we see that Ashwatthama is captured, and then Krishna, testing Arjuna, says, kill him, kill him, kill him. Arjuna resists. Then it comes to Draupadi. You can see culture. Draupadi sees that the teacher is embodied in the sun. She sees the pain it will cause Kripi, the mother of Ashwatthama, the wife of their guru. And she feels, sympathetic. So we see, this heart of the Vaishnava, rather than seeking revenge, their heart goes out in compassion in such an unusual circumstance. Yudhisthira, Dharma personified, also says, no, we can't kill him. It's working. And Bhishma says, no, kill him. And then they decide, and Krishna has to decide, kill him or not kill him. Kill him or not kill him. And they decide to insult him. Somehow cut off his hair or something. I don't know. Different culture, right? Yeah, maybe it's like... someone was a hippie and attached to his freak flag. He just shave him up. I'm dead. My whole identity. And they insult him. They humiliate him. If one is honored, dishonor is worse than death. So that's how we see. And now we're going to come into the prayers of Queen Kunti and see the sweetness of that relationship, which will make us aspire for that sweetness of exchange between. So here we come, the prayers by Queen Kunti and Prikshit Save. They have the Pandavas desiring to deliver water to the dead relatives who had desired it, went to the Ganges with Draupadi. The ladies walked in front. So this is a custom. If someone dies in northern India, the Ganges goes all through northern India. They go to the Ganges, and they offer oblations and waters. And so Krishna, related to the Pandavas, he's in the family, so he's with them. Te nindi yodakam sarve valapya cha prisham puna aputa hari padhabja rajakuta surijale. Having lamented over them and sufficiently offered Ganges water, they bathed in the Ganges, whose water is sanctified due to being mixed with the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. Tatastinam kurupatim tritaratnam sahanujam Gandharim putra putas Gandharim putra sokartam pritam krishnam chamarava. So they, okay. There sat the king of the Kurus, Maharaj Yudhisthira, along with his younger brothers, and Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, Kunti, and Dhritarashtra, all overwhelmed with grief. Lord Krishna was also there. So many people died. And they're just overwhelmed with grief. And at an appropriate time, people can be consoled with a proper understanding, a spiritual understanding. As mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, the first instruction Krishna actually gave Arjuna, asochan andasochas tvam pragyavadam chabhashase gatasin agatasin nanu sochan kipandava. You know, the wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. While speaking learned words, Arjuna, you're a fool. The wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. So I think one commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the first thing the spiritual master does is chastise the disciple. Not necessarily, but the idea is to remove the false ego, the conception, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, and therefore I am perfect, I am never wrong, I see the world, and we see, you know, but we don't. No, you're a fool. It's not the way it is. So, the wise lament. So try to make someone wise to see something higher. And Santvayam Ashramunidir Hatabhangum Sachar Pitan Bhutesha Kalasya Gatim Darsayam Napratikriyam. Citing the stringent laws of the Almighty and their reactions upon living beings, Lord Krishna and the Munis began to pacify those who were shocked and affected. So this is interesting how he pacifies them. He cites the stringent laws of the Almighty and their reactions. It's a way, just like if you're suffering in the world, if someone's mistreating you, Boy Jampagu, he told me this one time when I was upset with someone. He said, very interesting. He said, feel the pain. But there's something about strong emotions that you can't just transcend them by philosophy. He said, feel the pain, but then, and think of the person, you know, who did this, but then put your face on it. That's karma. You're actually ultimately the cause. It's a tough one to swallow. But Krishna and the Munis, he gave remedial measures, and they were suchar patim, shocked and affected. Why? Hatta bandhu, they lost their friends and relatives. Shantvayam asha, they were given hope and pacified. They cited the stringent laws of nature, the law of karma, and how it works. Because it says kalasya. Karma is Vasudev or the Paramatma. He's perceived in the past all our activities and then moves as time to give us experiences to teach us lessons, to root out the exploitativeness and the selfishness in us that has caused suffering to others in the past, the kalasya. And a prophet talks a lot about dharma. And what is dharma? Dharma means how to respond to kala or time. The appropriate way to respond to time, to transcend it. And you respond to time and you transcend time by the appropriate response to it, whether it's tolerance, whether it's action sometimes rather than ease, a life of ease. Sometimes the response is not just, you know, just not taking action, taking action, etc. So, citing the stringent laws of the Almighty and their reactions upon living beings, he began to pacify them about Dharma, he explained. How you react to the karma, so you transcend it, so you learn the lesson from it. And Prabhupada explains, therefore human life is specifically meant for qualifying ourselves for this spiritual liberty. Unfortunately, under the influence of the illusory material energy, we accept this spot life of only a few years as our permanent existence. So that's traditionally what the white family life was called under Kupa, falling in a dark well. Now, the reason it was in that time is because family life, you know, was pleasant in a certain way. You know, your uncles, your brothers, there's love in the family, etc. And it tended to create an illusion that this life is my eternal identity. And if you're steeped in that illusion, then you never develop your relationship with Krishna. Of course, when you preach it this time, this year, I explain in the present age, we're just trying to get people to get that experience of having a happy family life so that they're peaceful. And, you know, and satisfy some of their desires, so then they go on to transcending. But in this type of culture, that's what it was. People had loving brothers and the wife and the husband. There was some relationships and all this. So that was under Kupa. That was the dark well. It was so good, can't get out. I could never understand it. On the Bhagavad Gita, when I first read the Bhagavad Gita and I was a devotee and Papa was talking, the painstaking life of sannyas. I said, what? They're the ones who've got the good life. What kind of painstaking life of sannyas? It's the grihasthas who have the painstaking life. I couldn't understand why is Prabhupada. It reminded me of this one Italian guy in the Bronx, real Sicilian guy. I still this for 20 years, he's having one doubt why he can't come to Krishna consciousness fully. He said, because Prabhupada said that, he said, someone told him Prabhupada said that you can replace garlic with hing. it caused such a doubt in him. He just couldn't give up garlic. So when I heard the same thing that sannyas was painstaking, I said, boy, that looks like the best life. What kind of painstaking? But that's the idea. Unfortunately, under the influence of illusory material energy, we accept this spot life of only a few years as our permanent existence and thus become illusioned by possessing so-called country, home, land, children, wife, community, wealth, which are false representations created by Maya illusion. Under the direction of Maya, we fight with one another to protect these false possessions. By cultivating spiritual knowledge, we can realize that we have nothing to do at all with this material paraphernalia. Prabhupada heavily preached detachment. And there's a reason why he preached detachment. But if you look at the whole balance of the teachings, also, Arjuna was a warrior, was told to fight and to stay in his family. There's reasons for that, too. Then at once we become free from material attachment. Now listen to this. This is the point that comes again and again. This clearance of the misgivings of material existence at once takes place by the association with the Lord's devotees who are able to inject the transcendental sound into the depth of the bewildered heart and thus make one practically liberated from all lamentation and illusion. That is a summary of the pacifying measures for those affected by the reaction of stringent material laws. So that's the pacifying. We're under these laws, we're suffering due to our attachments. How to get out? Wow. The clever Diodon and his party cunningly usurped the kingdom of Yudhisthira, who had no enemy. By the grace of the Lord, the recovery was executed, and the unscrupulous kings who joined with Diodana were killed by him. Others also died. Their duration of life having been decreased for their rough handling of the hair of Draupadi. So Prabhupada talks, you know, here, that women, children, old men were given protection. And Diodana, that's the law of God. This protection is the law of God. Prabhupada talks about it. And now, because he broke those laws, then there's reactions. That's the philosophy. You break the laws of God, then you get reactions. And it's stringent. And therefore, when you're facing time, basically, what time you are facing, you have caused. Again, I ask people not to be too depressed, because, and don't think if someone is living nicer than you, he has more of God's mercy. That's, what is it, the Protestant work ethic, you know, worship Jesus Christ, your life will become prosperous. What a shallow philosophy that is. I remember when my father worked in Harlem. There was one priest in Harlem who was famous, called Reverend Sam, the money man. Yeah. My father was a dress contractor. He had a loft, about 50 people, I think, you know, used to make the fashion industry. And, 125th Street and 3rd Avenue. He used to work there. I used to go up there sometimes too. It's a treat when he would take me to work. It was a treat when he would take me to work. So, it's not like that. It's not like that. Because for one thing, you don't know what order that Krishna wants to give your karma. Maybe Bill Gates has horrible karma, actually. For some reason, Krishna's giving him all his good karma at once. And then someone who has bad karma may have really good karma. And Krishna's going, what to speak, Krishna may be finishing it up with his devotees. You know, maybe someone who makes his life so miserable that he's ready to become detached from it. Lord Krishna caused 3 well-performed ashwamedha sacrifices to be conducted by Yudhisthira, and this caused his virtuous fame to be glorified in all directions, like that of Indra, who performed 100. So he performed 3, Indra performed 100, Yudhisthira is as famous as Indra. He's favored by God because of Dharma. Lord Krishna then prepared for his departure. He invited the sons of Pandu after being worshipped by the Brahmins, headed by Vyasa. The Lord reciprocated. So we're just introduced. Here was Krishna. He's pacifying. He saved the relatives. He solved their problems. He pacifies them. He leaves. There's reciprocation. That is the spiritual world that we're going to be introduced to now. And that's why I want to continue the Bhagavatam. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Kate.
Hare Krishna, Deva.
I'm sorry if it's a little bit noisy. I'm on the train. Yeah, I had
you,
a question.
You're where? You're where?
I'm on a train. I'm on my way to Second Avenue to hear Goranga Prabhu from South Africa.
Oh, he's going to give class in the morning.
Yeah, he is a two-part seminar on Chaitanya Charitamrita stuff. You know.
Well, if you see him, I don't know if you just get a chance, say Dhanadhar Swami offers his respects.
Oh,
okay?
definitely.
You tell him you heard my class this morning.
Okay.
And you told me you're on the way. Okay, good.
Yeah, but when you were saying that Parikshit Maharaj, why did he leave, you know, an administration that had no lacking, and it was because so that Shukadeva Goswami could speak the Bhagavatam. But, you know, I understand that was Krishna's arrangement, but to say that was his conscious reason for doing it, you know, that's nice.
Oh, okay, yeah. First of all, I have to say, Gail, whenever I have my own original thought, that's the question you ask it on. I never read that any place, by the way, Gail. It's one of those things I just put together because it seemed logical, you know? And whenever I do one of those, Bear, you ask a question. I don't think it had to be. Well, they asked, actually, why did he leave? I would just say that sometimes, well, I guess there's many reasons why he did that. He didn't want to counteract the curse because he saw Krishna's will. You know, it's almost like indirect. He said, Sadhu Mene, I think this is good. Because he was such a humble soul that he felt he offended someone. And there were three reasons, actually, why he accepted the reaction. Actually, there are actually three reasons that are mentioned. One, he didn't want he wanted to be free himself of the sinful reaction of what he did, so he accepted the reaction because that's one way to get absolved of the offenses you commit.
Mm-hmm.
And there were three reasons. And one of them was, he wanted to, the family gets the debt of the father. So let's say the father kills someone, they cause these family feuds, then the reactions will have to go to his children. So you also wanted to resolve the family from reaction. Those were actually the reasons given in the Bhagavatam, why he accepted the curse. So you're right, it wasn't conscious exactly, but indirectly, he by accepting this, in other words, from the divine plan, we can say it's more or less Krishna arranged this and Krishna allowed this to go on because the manifestation of the Bhagavatam was more important than him managing the kingdom. Because it's ultimately Krishna allowed it. But the direct reasons in which he accepted the curse, there were three. I'll look them up. I only remember two right now. He wanted to relieve himself of the reaction, and he wanted to relieve his family of the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gail?
Okay, thank you.
It's nice that you're on the train and you're able to listen to the class, too. That's good. Okay, thank you. Hi, Bill.
Hi,
Bill. Okay. Anybody else like to ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Nanda Dula.
Nanda Dula, I go.
Maharaj, it's my request, it's not a question. You know? When you speak about Kunti's prayer, is it possible to get an audio of the whole lecture?
Yes. All the lectures are on iTunes.
Oh, okay. Whom I should in contact? Because particularly for, I remember once in our home.
Rucky, how did I get the lectures? You want to just get on? One second. Someone's going to tell you how to get the lectures. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Just hang on. Be 1 second. 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The ways you can get admission to classes, you can go to weeklysangha.com and just download them directly. Or if you use iTunes, you can go to iTunes. You can go to iTunes Store and you just search for Dhanadhar Swami, and they'll all come up.
Okay. So I can download it in MP3?
Yep, they're all MP3s.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Actually, all my lectures are on that, you know, so you can even get back ones. Okay?
Okay.
It's nice to have live. That's why the numbers of the broadcast itself went down from maybe like, it was in like 40 to 25, but there's 155 downloads. Last week, there was something like 155 downloads. Many people are listening to it, but I appreciate if you people come live. That's nice, too. Okay?
The reason is that, you know, you talk about Kunti's prayer, and I had a little bit long before, so I want to relish it over and over, you know, when it is done this time.
Oh, you mean you want the old ones I gave?
No, old one and I know, but I want to know now that you will be starting, so that every Sunday, but by the time it finishes, you know, it might be 2-3 months.
Wait, you want the ones I gave before or the ones I'm giving now?
Now, that's what I want to know. Because before I have in a little bit, I have in a Kunti space.
Okay, anyway, you can download it. Thank you, Nanda Duval.
Okay,
I will. Any other questions?
Thank you, Bhatti.
Hari Bol.
Hari Kusumaras. I have a question about the wealth being a sign of mercy.
Okay. And
what I perceive, but probably faulty. But it seems to me like devotees who have sufficient wealth are more easily able to attract sadhus by their service or by, you know, having home programs or able to give donations and that sort of thing. And so it seems like wealthy devotees can get mercy a lot more easily. That's my doubt.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, obviously, anything can be used in Krishna's service. There are certain things that are facilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not dependent on the facilities. It's just like, I'll give you an example. Just like one time I was preaching in this advertising company, when Kunji Kishori was working there, she brought me to her advertising company,
mm-hmm.
and the whole advertising company stopped. It was amazing. It's an amazing experience. She told them that her guru was coming. This is New York, right?
Yeah.
And I walk in and she greets me, and you know, it's like Madison Avenue or Third Avenue, you know, and there's like a long corridor with about 50 offices and 2 floors. It was an advertising company, and there's editors and accountants and designers, and it was amazing. She took me, it's going to be a chance to tell a story. So I go to the first place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, the people offer me like some flowers, right? Then I go to the next office, and then this guy comes in with gray hair, comes in with a banana and says, here, have some prasadam. I don't know who the guy is. It's New York, right? Then I go towards the center place, and there's a big computer printout on the wall, welcome Hare Krishna.
What?
And I have about 50 people surrounding me, right? And they ask me about the dress. And I say, well, why do you wear the dress? And I said, it's like a uniform. So the uniform has two purposes. I used to play sports. I know this. I used to be on a college team. I know what it's like wearing the uniform. Like a policeman, I said, where's the uniform? Why? I said, a police, you can identify them, so it's practical, right? And it gives you a certain mood. But I said, still, you can make the arrest plain clothes, you know? So it's like that. It's a facility, but it's not, you know, you can use it, but you don't absolutely, you can still do the same thing without it. You know, I mean, so, you know, if people have a lot of money, yeah, it's a facility for them, and hey, that's their karma. They can use it, fine. They can, but it's not the only. There are people who are. I just see when people open their homes up to the devotees come, and it's equal to me. There are some people who are very wealthy and do that. You know, and there's some people who are not and do that. And it's the same. People come to their homes. They open their homes to the devotees, people come. And I just seen that, regardless of their condition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then, you know, for Raghunath, look at the other side. For Raghunath Das Goswami, he was the wealthy man and wealthiest man in West Bengal. And he was tortured. He was depressed. Why? Because everything has, you know, if it's material, it has a good and bad side. Now, what's the bad side? The bad side is, this attachment and you can't get out. You know, I know, like, one pious Indian devotee, real pious, sweet as you can, he wants to be a brahmachari, you know, and he's really qualified for it. And he has loving parents, you know, he has good karma, poor guy. He can't get out of it. You know, and then, you know, then another guy, you know, and therefore Prabhupada said that, right? He said when he was in India, he was trying to get everybody to give me one son, I'll train him as a Brahmin. Give me one son, I'll train him as a Brahmin. Give me one son, I'll train him as a Brahmin. Prabhupada said, I couldn't get one. When I came to America, he said, all the children had already taken sannyas, joking, that we were all hippies. We already left home, right? So what did that mean, right? It mean, you know, we didn't have such, you know, their family lives. It wasn't the same. So, you know, that was, you know, that in one sense became an advantage. That our bad karma became our good karma in one sense. We were free from attachment. And therefore, we could actually dedicate ourselves in one sense. I mean, it's more complicated, and sometimes that works out artificially. But wealth can be used, but it may be due to some pious credit. So let them kick in, and let them use it properly, and let them host devotees and serve devotees. That's the proper use of it. That's not what attracts the mercy. What attracts the mercy is people's open heart and service. And, you know, it's the love. And if you give something simple in love, it may even be more appreciated. You know, a person may give $10, and it may be everything. Because the Prabhupada appreciated the bum who gave the toilet paper, the famous bum who walked in. You know, wanted to do service, you know. So it's not what you give, right? It's what you don't give. Okay. Is that okay, Vegavati? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, Maharaj, thank you.
Maharaj, this is Prema.
Yeah.
Can I just make a comment on that?
Yes, please.
No, I was just going to say that also, I guess, just remarking on the point you just made, it's like, that's like hosting Vaishnavas, and the facility to host Vaishnavas it's more like an external facility, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the sadhu will reciprocate on a deep level or give his heart to the person. You know, it's like anything else. It's like the facility's there, but you have to take advantage of it. And so there's... that's an advantage to have them come, but it's not necessarily that just because you have a big house or money and you host them that they're going to give their heart or necessarily reciprocate in some, you know, deep way. Or, you know, you still have to make the endeavor to take advantage of it.
Would you say it's something like this, that, yeah, it's not just the external, but it's the internal. And if the external is given, you can give the external just to be like a show, right? It could be for your ego. And then the reciprocation won't be so deep.
Yeah, or just, you know, they come and you host them, and you make advancement, obviously, but it's not like the sadhu's brought by material facility. What's in his heart comes out. He reciprocates with the sincerity and service, not the facility, you know?
Yeah, thank you. That's nice. Very nice.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna, ask a question, make a comment?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, this is Kuldeep.
Kuldeep, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Gail Mataji is on the train, and I'm in the van heading towards 2nd Avenue. Just wanted to request you if you want to let devotees know about the 24th program.
When is that?
24th is a Friday. It's going to start at 5 p.m., and it's going to go until the next 24 hours.
Lucky, we have to put that on Sambandha. Yeah, we did. We already put on. Anyway, we're going to have a 24-hour kirtan on the 24th of this month, and Kuldeep is inviting us to go to that kirtan at his house. It's going to be 24 hours. I'm also coming. I believe Kinchana Krishnadas. He's also invited Ananta and Achyuta, and I think they're going to come. So at some part, either Friday night or Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, if you'd like to come to the kirtan, what can be better than Nam Kirtan? What can be better than Nam Kirtan? Thank you. Any other questions, comments, anybody? Yeah. Who's this?
This is Govardhan Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Govardhan.
Yeah, we have class today, Gauranga Prabhu's class from 3 to 5.
Yeah.
Teaching is a sense topic.
Okay. Okay, so you're letting people know that if they like to come.
Yeah, I think it is, yes, Maharaj.
At 2nd Avenue?
No, it's in Edison today evening, 3 o'clock.
Oh, okay. So Gauranga has in 2nd Avenue, and then between 3 and 5, it's in Edison.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. If anybody, I feel unfortunate because I really wanted to see Gauranga a lot. I really like Gauranga a lot. He's a very special soul, very special soul. So intelligent person. And I really wanted to see him, and I'm coming back tomorrow. So if anyone is here, sees him, offer their regards. Just see, three of the people are going to his class. Thank you. Thank you, Govardhan.
We had a class from R.G. Raja Gopinath Mandir, Govind Prabhu.
Oh, Govind, yeah.
He gave class yesterday at the Devatinandan Prabhu's house.
Oh, wow. As much as I like Gauranga, Govinda is very incredible soul. Incredible soul. I have bind with them, both of them very, very good. Both of them. You see Govinda, offer him my respects also.
Sure.
Anybody sees Govinda, also tell him my misfortune that I come back from California tomorrow and they leave tomorrow, right? So I feel very misfortunate. Thank you, Govardhan. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Comments, announcements, invitations, whatever. This is Sangha. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Carl.
Carl, welcome back, huh? Are you still in India?
No, I'm here in Iowa.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
How was your stay there? Nice, just I can imagine.
Yeah, it was incredible and deep.
Incredible and deep. Well, I think I have to call you personally sometime.
Thank you.
Okay? Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hi, well, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. Anybody else? Sangha is so nice, I don't want to leave. Okay. Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaitavebhyo Devonamastu.